We turn in the Word of God this morning to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We'll begin reading the chapter at verse 15 and read to the end. What we'll say a few things about in the sermon on Lord's Day 38 is found at the end of the chapter, part of Jesus' dispute with the Pharisees over the Sabbath day. Let's begin the reading at verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, And then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new cloth that filled it up taketh away the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with them. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So far we read God's holy word. Let's consider now Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 103, and read that together. Lord's Day 38, what doth God require in the fourth commandment being, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's the fourth commandment. This is the answer to the question. First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is the clear fourth commandment of the law of God. And to begin the sermon, I want us to reflect upon what is our heart and what is our attitude toward the Lord's Day, the day that the Lord calls us in the fourth commandment to keep holy and to remember. And one of the ways that we can get at that question, what is my attitude and heart towards this day, is to ask some other questions. For example, imagine somebody comes to you on a Tuesday morning and says, what is it that you are looking forward to most in your life in the coming week, in the coming 7 days? Tuesday morning, what is it that you long for most in the next week of your life as God will give it to you? And we all recognize that there's a great temptation for us to answer that question and say, well, this is what I long for most. I cannot wait until Friday night because of what I have planned Friday night. Or I cannot wait until Saturday because I don't have to work. We can be tempted, as we go through our earthly pilgrimage, therefore, to long for things that are other than what is the most important activity that we engage in all of our life, on the most important day of the week, namely this day, the Lord's Day. That question reveals a strong temptation for us to have a wrong view of this day, the Lord's Day. We can be so tempted to, on the Sabbath day even, live in the shadow of the weekend gone by, lamenting, ah, another weekend has passed. And lamenting in the shadow of the week to come, ah, I have to begin another work week tomorrow. Instead of recognizing the great gift and the blessing that this day is to us, and how it is and must be in our thoughts and minds the most important day of the week in which we engage in the most important activity, that is the worship of Jehovah's name. And understand that the question, what is your attitude towards the Lord's Day, is so significant because it really gets at another question. And that is, who is Jesus Christ to you? You see, how you view the Lord's Day says something about who Christ is to you. Because the Lord's Day is not just about going through outward motions and doing certain things or not doing certain things. That's what the Pharisees made it all about in Jesus' day, and that's what we're tempted to make it all about in our day. But the Lord's Day is about delighting in, enjoying, and worshiping God for the greatest gift, the gift of salvation and life with God through Jesus Christ. That's what Sabbath rest is, as we will see it in the sermon this morning. And that's why the question, what is your view of the Lord's Day, says something about who Jesus Christ is to you. And with our sinful natures, we're so tempted to have wrong views of all of that. But by faith, which is God's gift to us, we do say in the strength of faith, Jesus Christ is everything, and Jesus Christ is my rest, and this is what my life is all about. Enjoying, delighting, and worshiping God for the rest that I have in Christ. And therefore, in the strength of faith, we do say, fighting against those temptations of our sinful flesh, this day is the most important day. And what we are doing right now, here in God's house of worship, is the way in which we enjoy and experience that rest of the gospel more than anything else. And therefore, we delight in the Sabbath day, thanking God for it. To conclude the introduction, let's be reminded that this fourth commandment of God's law brings to a conclusion the first table of the law. The first table of the law is about our relationship to God, and more specifically, it is about the worship of God. In the first commandment, God says, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," which is God saying to us, "Worship me alone." In the second commandment, God says, "Thou shalt not make any graven images of me," which is God saying, "Worship me only as I have commanded you to worship me in my word." In the third commandment, God says, "Don't take my name in vain," which is God saying, "This is how you worship me, through my name, through confessing my name, through using my name rightly, my name, which is the full revelation of who I am in the Word and in Jesus Christ." And then the fourth commandment, God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," which is God saying to us, "Worship me in a special way on this day, the one day in seven that I set apart for the worship of my name." The fourth commandment brings to a conclusion the first table of the law, which deals with our worship of God. Let's consider then the fourth commandment this morning and look at these two points in the sermon, the principle of the fourth commandment, and then in the second place, the practice. And what we get at in the second point of the sermon is what it means practically in our lives to remember this day in particular, the Lord's Day that He gives us. But let's begin in the sermon this morning by considering really what is the principle of the fourth commandment. And our focus in this first point of the sermon is on one word, and that's the word Sabbath. The fourth commandment, in both of its renderings, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, speak of the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so a right understanding of the fourth commandment flows out of understanding that word Sabbath. And the word Sabbath means rest. When we hear that word Sabbath, and Sabbath is important not just in the fourth commandment, really throughout the entirety of the Word of God. When we hear that word, the word that must come to mind is rest. That's where the Catechism leads us in our understanding of the fourth commandment. We read in the second line that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is the day of rest. That comes directly from the word Sabbath, which means rest. But now that only gets us halfway there. Sabbath means rest, but the rest of it is what does the word rest mean? What is the idea of rest? When we read of the Sabbath day or the day of rest. Now that word rest, in our modern usage of it, can lead us astray to the right understanding of it according to God's Word. And the reason for that is when we use the word rest in our everyday language, we often mean by that cessation of activity or idleness or not doing anything. When we say I'm going to go rest, the predominant idea of that is I'm not going to do anything anymore, or I'm going to take a rest can mean I'm going to go take a nap, I'm going to go sleep. And so in our minds, the word rest in our modern usage of it is often associated with inactivity, not doing anything, or even sleeping. And the important point in this regard is to remember that the rest of Sabbath, according to the Word of God, is not that. There is an element of not doing something associated with the Sabbath day, of course. Don't work. And even a physical recuperation in order to continue to work in our life. But the point is that the main idea of rest is not don't do anything. Instead, there is an active idea to the concept of rest. Because ultimately what rest means in the Word of God is to delight in and enjoy a finished work. To delight in and enjoy a finished work. And what it means for you and me to rest on the Lord's Day is derived from what it meant for God to rest on the seventh day in the first week after He created all things. The fourth commandment is found in both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in both of those instances, we have a slightly different rendering of the fourth commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, this is what we read. Exodus 20, verse 11, after the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and don't work, we read this, for, this is the grounding of the fourth commandment. This is the basis of it. For, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20 verse 11 grounds the fourth commandment in what God did on the first week of creation. And take note of three things from this. We're going to highlight especially the third of these, but a couple of other things as well. Number one, what we learn from this is that the pattern of 6 days of working and 1 day of not working is exactly the pattern that God began with in the creation week. That's where that came from. God created for 6 days, formed this earth. It came to a culmination with the creation of man on day six, the crown of that creation, and then the seventh day, He rested. He did not create anymore. And so the pattern of 6 days of labor and 1 day of not comes exactly from that first week of creation. In the second place, we learn that it was from that creation week that the Lord, now more particularly, set aside 1 day of seven. So the pattern comes from that creation week, and now more specifically, the setting of 1 day out of seven aside comes from what God did during the creation week, which means that the Sabbath day is a creation ordinance. It's something that God established in the very creation of all things. It was present, therefore, before Sinai. The Sabbath day was a reality before God came on Mount Sinai and said, "Here's the fourth commandment." Exactly because God established it in the very first week of human history. God, we read, hallowed or sanctified the Sabbath day. And from our series on Saved by Grace and Sanctification, we know what that means. It means to set apart. God said, 1 day in seven, I'm setting apart from the other six. Setting it apart, hallowing it, sanctifying it for a special use. And the use, as we know, is for the worship of Him and for the setting of our hearts and minds upon the things of the gospel. And then in the third place, now a little bit more fully, to come back to where we began, what we read is that on that seventh day, God rested. And here's where the idea of rest comes from. When God rested on the seventh day, what that means is not that He was idle, that He didn't do anything. You see, God is God. God is not like you and me, where after a week of work, we're tired and we need to be recuperated and we need to regain our strength. God was not exhausted after the 6 days of creation and got to the end of that sixth day and said, "I need to stop this in order to be rejuvenated to continue to be active." That's not true, because that's not true of God. He's always the eternally strong and omnipotent one. And we know about God that He never ceases to work. Jesus says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And the idea of that is that God is always working. He's always active. Even on that seventh day, He was active in the work of maintaining the creation that He made and preserving it. He's always active. He's always working. He's never idle and inactive. And so the point with that is that rest cannot mean just not doing something. But there's a positive idea to rest. And the positive idea that comes from God's creation and resting on the seventh day is that God delighted in and enjoyed His finished work. Remember what we read at the end of the creation week. "And God saw all things, and it was good." He made it all. He made Adam the crown of His creation. And He looked at it all and said, "It is good, as the work of my hand as God." And on that seventh day, He rested. He delighted in actively and enjoyed actively His finished and completed work of creation. And that gets at the idea of Sabbath. When we hear Sabbath rest and the fourth commandment, which is don't work, the don't work is not to the end of do nothing, but the don't work is to the end of enjoying and delighting in God's finished work. And so that leads to the question, what finished work? And the answer to that is the finished work of your salvation and my salvation as it is found in Jesus Christ. And that's where the commandment, as it's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 5, is so instructive. Because in Deuteronomy 5, God does not ground the fourth commandment in creation, as He does in Exodus 20, but grounds the fourth commandment in redemption. What He did in delivering His people from Egypt. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, after the "remember the Sabbath day, don't work," verse 15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." And what God is doing in part there is saying, remember to keep the Sabbath day in light of what I did in delivering you out of Egypt and out of Egypt into Canaan, redeeming you as my covenant people, so that in Canaan you dwell with me. Canaan, which is a picture of the eternal rest to come, as we learn in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews chapter 5. And so what is it that we delight in? We delight in the finished work of God to redeem us in the blood of Jesus. Because God's deliverance from Egypt is that which points us, of course, to the perfect work of our Savior, to deliver us from the bondage, the misery, and the death of sin. And the glorious aspect of the work of Jesus Christ is that it's finished. It's complete. Not in the sense that right now as you sit here today, you have everything that you're ever going to have as a believer. No, there's more to come for you and me. There comes a day when our sinful nature will be abolished through the passageway of death. There comes a day when we will be face to face with Christ in heaven. There comes a day when we will not live in a world filled with suffering and sorrow and death. There comes a day when this body will be raised like the body of Jesus Christ. There comes a day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein we will dwell with all of God's people forever. There's more to come for you and me. But yet we say, the work is finished. It's complete. There's nothing more to be done. And what we mean by that, of course, is that in Jesus Christ, our salvation is entirely accomplished. He came to this earth and He went to the cross, and on that cross He cried out, "It is finished." There's nothing more for you to do to pay the price for the sin and the guilt that clings to you. Christ, in full, satisfied the justice of God. And Jesus went to that grave. And Jesus conquered that grave as the resurrection and the life, conquering death for all of His people. Though more to come, what we say and what we believe is that in Jesus Christ, the work is finished. And that, people of God, is what we delight in. We find our rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and labor, and I will give you rest." The rest of the Sabbath is Jesus Christ. As we look to Him, as we find in Him relief from the burden of our sin, and as we enjoy in Him and delight in Him and His finished work, as it's found in the cross and in the resurrection from the dead. And that is why the principle of Sabbath and Sabbath rest is that which applies to every single day of the week as we live it here on this earth. And the Catechism brings us in that direction when it says at the end, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The focus of the fourth commandment is on the one day, which we'll come to in the second point of the sermon. But the Catechism leads us to see that in distinction from that one day, there is something that applies with respect to the fourth commandment every day. Because the principle of Sabbath rest is that which we experience every single day. And that which every day as we experience it through the work of the Spirit gives us a foretaste of the eternal Sabbath to come. That's the point of the end of the Catechism in Lord's Day 38. Every day, this is the life of the Christian. I cease from my evil works. I put down my evil works. I fight against my evil works. I strive to not walk in the ways of sin. And every day I turn myself to the Lord. Every day I look to Jesus Christ. Every day I find in Him all that is necessary for my salvation. Every day I delight in Him and His furnished work. Every day I look to the Spirit to work in me an understanding and knowledge of who my Savior is and His finished work for me. And all of that is but a foretaste of what is to come for us in eternity. The eternal Sabbath, which will be the perfect life as we enjoy God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the principle of Sabbath. Resting, delighting in, enjoying and worshiping God for the finished and complete work that we have in Christ. Chiefly this work, the work of delivering us from our sins and bringing us into covenant fellowship with God. Now in the second point of the sermon, let's consider what this means for us on the one day of the week, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And a few points by way of introduction to the second point. The first, and this is a really big subject and we can only scratch the surface this morning, the first point is that in the New Testament, God has led the church to understand and to practice the Sabbath day, not on the seventh day of the week, the last day of the week, but on the first day of the week. Understand that the fourth commandment applies to the church of all ages. The fourth commandment is part of the moral law of God written on granite by the finger of God, applicable to all ages. The fourth commandment comes to us and applies. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is the Word of God to us today in the New Testament. And that Sabbath day for us, as we read in the Catechism, the Reformed understanding of this, is the day of rest, Sunday, the first day of the week. The New Testament Sabbath is no longer on Saturday, the last day, but is on Sunday. And the reason for that is from what we read in the New Testament Scriptures. As I said, we cannot go into great detail on this regard, but the main lines that are important in this respect are the fact that Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week. The accounts in the Gospels make special point to say on the first day of the week, with the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the coming of Christ, Jesus arose. And then we read thereafter that it was on the first day of the week that Jesus, before His ascension, appeared with His disciples, the church, and gathered with them. And on the first day of the week, Christ sent forth His Spirit in Pentecost. And on the first day of the week, we follow the example, the inspired New Testament example of the New Testament church that gathered for worship, as we read in the book of Acts, and a specific reference in 1 Corinthians. And you put that all together and see the fulfillment of the Old Testament in Christ and how God now says the New Testament Sabbath, in which there is the one day in seven, in which the day is set aside for the special activity of worship and delighting in God and in the finished work of Jesus, is Sunday, the first day of the week. In the second place, by way of introduction to the second point, let's see a couple of things that the Lord teaches us in Mark chapter 2. And that is, in particular, that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus teaches us a lot about the Sabbath day, and it arose largely out of His dispute with the Pharisees. And here, this particular context in Mark 2 had to do with picking corn on the Sabbath day. They challenged Him and His disciples for doing that. He references the Old Testament example of David, who ate the showbread at the time of Abiathar the priest. And then the conclusion to that is that Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the point with that is that Jesus Christ is the one who determines what is proper and not proper on the Sabbath day. He is Lord. In the same way that we read in Revelation chapter 1 that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And beloved, the point of this is it's not your day and it's not my day. And that principle right there is so important as it governs how we think about this day. We're so tempted to say, I want to do what I want to do. No one else is going to tell me what to do. But God says to us in His Word, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who rules as to what this day is about and what it's not about. Because ultimately it's about Him. What He has done, and our worship of God for Him. And then in the third place, what we read in this passage in Mark 2 is that God made the Sabbath for man. We read that in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man. Yes, Jesus is the Lord of this day, but God made this day for man. For His people. Because there's a tremendous benefit in this day for you and for me and for all of God's people. God, in the beginning, said, I'm giving one day in seven set aside for all of the work that we do. And on this day, it's a day about me, but I give it to you. It's for you. It's for your benefit. You need it. I need it. And God works through it for the glory of His name and for our good. And we all know that. We all know that from the physical side of it. Yes, there is that for us. This is a day of rest. We recuperate to do the work of the week. But we know it's a day of rest spiritually as we come here as weary sinners who need to hear week after week the message of the gospel, who need to be here week after week in communion with God, who need to be here week after week in order to be strengthened in our spiritual walk as that comes out of worshiping God. God made the Sabbath for man, for His people, as there is a tremendous benefit, spiritually and physically even, for us in this day. And so that gets us into specifically what this day looks like for us. And we can break this down very simply into the negative and the positive. The Catechism does not focus on the negative, but the commandments do. And the negative is don't work. Don't work. That is, don't do the work that God calls you to do during the other 6 days of the week. Are there works of necessity? Yes. We learned that from Mark chapter 2. They needed to pick the corn. They needed to eat. There are things we need to do. But what we do not do, as the clear commandment teaches us, is the work of the week. As mothers, all of the everyday things that it is to take care of a home. Not the necessities of the day in caring for the home and the children, but the other things. The cleaning of windows, the vacuuming of the floor, the cleaning of bathrooms, and all of the rest. For fathers and many others who go to work during the week, the clear calling is that you leave that work aside on this day. All the more tempting not to, because it's so accessible when so much is done electronically and through email and through communication. There's always that temptation. It's there for many, even though you're not at the office or on the site. A special application to you children and young people today. School begins in this week. Your work as children and as teenagers is school. And so when the fourth commandment says, thou shalt not do any work on the Sabbath day, that work for you is your schoolwork. And so let's be resolved at the beginning of the year as parents and children to not do the work of the week on the Lord's Day. Maybe some parts of it fit with what we're going to come to in a little bit, but most of it does not. And so we pray that we might have that resolve to teach our children by example, even as children, what this day means. Because if you grow up dabbling in the work of school during the week, it's not that big of a transition to dabble in the work of the week outside of school. It's the same thing. And so at the beginning of another school year, let's have the resolve to keep this day holy as adults and as children with whatever work God has given us to do. But it may be the case that the greater temptation is that on this Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, we are tempted to engage in the pleasures of this earthly life. There's a marvelous passage in the prophecy of Isaiah that speaks to this. Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 13 and 14. If thou wilt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It's a marvelous passage. It talks about thy pleasure. And that's a true temptation for us today in a pleasure-driven world. This is where the corruption of the Lord's Day especially comes to the foreground. This day has become a day of entertainment, a day for doing what we want to do in the enjoyment of the things of this earth. And one of the great temptations with that is that all of those entertainments and joys come through the devices that we have. It's a click away, and you've got it all right there before you. And this day is not a day for our delights and our pleasures, but it's the Lord's day in which we do the things of worship. And so let's be resolved by the grace of God not to work and not to say this day is for engaging in my pleasurable activities. Instead, what is it all about? And here's the positive, and the Catechism gets us to the positive. That I, especially on the Sabbath day, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the Church of God to hear His Word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and to contribute to the relief of poor. Sabbath day is not about the work of the week, but it's about the work of worship. This is the heart of it. God says, I give one day of seven. Remember this day. Keep it holy. Rest in and delight in me as God, as revealed in Jesus Christ and His work. And how do we carry that out? The Catechism, based upon the Word of God, says, diligently frequent the house of God. Worship. Because here in the house of God, what do? We hear the Word of God. What Word? The Word of the Gospel. The Word from the mouthpiece of Christ that says, I am the one in whom you find rest. I am the one in whom there is freedom from the guilt and power and effects of sin. I am Savior. That's your need, your greatest need. And here you hear it from the mouth of Christ Himself in a way that you don't hear it anywhere else. That's why we come here, to hear the Word of God. Two, as the Catechism says, use the sacraments. What are the sacraments about? What are the sacraments about? They're about this. The rest that we have in Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Publicly to call upon the Lord. What do? Here together? We come here together as God's people and commune with Jehovah. We speak to Him. We pray to Him. We praise Him for what He has given us. We ask Him what we need in light of the burden of our sin and our guilt and the wearying nature of this earthly life. We dwell with and commune with our God in Jesus Christ and to contribute to the relief of the poor, which we do out of love and out of thanks for the relief that we have from God in Jesus Christ and for the gospel of grace. Which is why the Catechism speaks of the schools and the ministry of the gospel, the seminaries. This is why the Sabbath day is incorporated into an understanding of the importance of seminaries and the ministry. We need preachers, we need ministers, so that this activity might continue and preachers will continue to bring the good word of the gospel, a word that's very applicable to us today. And now we take note of the fact that the Catechism says, diligently frequent the house of God. If you understand who Christ is, if you understand what worship is, if you understand your greatest need as sinners and what happens here in the preaching of the gospel and in communion with God, what you say in response is, I want this as much as we can have it. Diligently frequent. By God's grace, we say as a church, we come here twice. We want to come here twice. Because here is the essence of it. And we want the entirety of the day to be revolved around the heart of it, which is the public worship of God's name. And so we say in the morning, we come to church to worship God and enjoy the rest of the gospel. And in the evening, we come and do the same. And that shapes the entire day. And we want to maintain that. And we will maintain that when the Sabbath day is not just going through the motions, but when the Sabbath day and the keeping of it arises out of understanding who our Savior is and the rest that we find in Him. And with those bookends to the day, it guides us. Our fellowship arises out of the worship of His name as we strive to use our fellowship together as family and believers to encourage us spiritually and to set our mind on the things of God. And then our private time, not for work, not for pleasure, but to be busy in God's Word, to grow in our understanding, to meditate, to pray, so that the whole of the day, one day in seven, is used to enjoy God in a special way and to revel in the finished work of our Savior. And so, beloved, let us hear this word about the Sabbath day, remembering that it's the Lord's day and the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. And remember that our carrying out our activities of this day is an act of faith. And let it be that, not just to going through the motions, but truly out of our love for God and out of thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does the Lord humble us this morning? Absolutely. Because we can all look at our Sabbath observance and know there's a lot of just going through the motions. There's a lot of hearts distant from the Lord. There's a lot of activities that really we shouldn't be doing. It humbles us. It must humble us. It humbles me. But may the Lord convict us and lead us to Christ and know that that burden of guilt that may come from Sabbath disobedience is removed. It's gone. Taken by Christ. And may that spur us on to say, I want to. And I'm going to strive to keep the whole of this day holy in my love for God and in my thanks to Him. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt help us to remember this day to keep it holy. We thank Thee for this word. We thank Thee for the word found in the gospel that this day is made for man. We pray that it might be a benefit to us as Thy people. Pray, keep us from sin now and the remainder of this day. And may this word be on our minds, even this afternoon, as we strive to live in all ways according to Thy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.